This CD is brought to you by Agape Word Center Church International, located in the heart of Beltsville at 6728A Industrial Drive, Beltsville, Maryland, 20705. Agape is pastored by Pastor Kasana Chongo and Lady C. Now, stay tuned for the word. We hope you will be blessed with this recording.
Good to be in the house of the Lord yet once again. Amen. Amen. And this morning, we had a wonderful service last Sunday, and we'll continue this Sunday. This morning, I'd like to continue on the topic of stewardship, on the subject of stewardship. The week before, we were talking about the stewardship of our time. And I would like to continue on that and finish on the stewardship of our time. And then we will move on. After the conference, we'll continue and we'll begin to look at financial stewardship this morning. So continue on the stewardship of our time. I'll give you a brief recap of what we were talking about. And today I'll focus on the thieves of time. In Psalm chapter 90, we can begin to read from verse number 10 to verse number 12. The Bible reads, "The days of our lives are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they are 80 years, yet their boast is only labor and sorrow. For it is soon cut away, it is soon cut off, and we fly away." Verse 11, "Who knows the power of your anger? For as the fear of you, so is your wrath. So teach us to number our days." And we sat there for a while. "Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom." Teach us, Lord, to number our days. And we talked about how time is so valuable to us. That the one thing that we all have in equal quantity is time. It is time. God is eternal and he does not live by time. But he has allotted time for everything and a time for everyone. So our view of time, number one, was that we should do what? Number one, we should value time. That we should value time. We should evaluate where we are, how we spend our time. We should value the quality and the quantity of the time that we have in life. Amen. And number two, we should not just value our time, but when you look at how time works and how time is in our lives, we need to be able to do what? To use our time wisely. We should use our time wisely. The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter number 5, if we look at Ephesians chapter number 5 from verse number 15 to verse number 17, the Bible then says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil, making the most of your time because the days that we have, friends, are evil." So we looked at how we need to value time and how we need to use our time wisely. And we also looked at how time is short in life. Time is short. The Bible tells us in Psalm 39, from verse number 4 to verse number 5, that our time, our life is but a breath. Our life is but vapor. And so we need to understand that we do not have all the time in the world. Our life can be snuffed out at any time. And so how we use our time, friends, is very, very important. As a steward, we need to understand that God has given you time and he requires an accounting for it, just as it requires an accounting for your time, for your resources. Amen. So we need to ask ourselves, how am I using the time that God has given to me? Am I using it wisely? Everyone has the same amount of time, whether we are rich or we are poor. And we need to understand that everything of value requires time. So how you use your time, look at where you spend your time. How much value are you placing on the areas that you spend time in? For example, as a church, Where are we spending our time? What is of value to us? For example, we want people to come to church. We need to give time to evangelism. We want people to know Jesus. We need to give our time to missions. We need to give our time to discipleship. What is it that is important in your life? Friends, if you want spiritual growth, we need to do what? We need to put time in the process so that we can see the growth that we want to see in our lives. And the question I asked us was, how much of our time do we give to God? How much of the time that you have, of the 24 hours in a day, how much of that do you give to God? Friends, when we look at life, it is very easy to be deceived. And it is very easy to think that God is not in control. He is in control. Whether we see it or not, whether we know it or not, God is in control. There is nothing that escapes God in life. Amen. So it is very, very important to understand that. Many of us, time is a challenge. And we spent quite a bit of time talking about that. So I won't spend a lot of time on the time itself. But today I'd just want to talk about the thieves of time. Knowing that time is valuable. Knowing that God is telling us to number our days. God is telling us to use our time wisely in all that we do. What can we do then to be able to use this time wisely that God has given us so that it is profitable in our lives? We need to understand, friends, that there are enemies of time. There are enemies of your progress and my progress, spiritually, socially, morally, in every area, professionally. There will always be a thief of time in your life. And so I'd like to give you maybe 10, if I can. 10 thieves of time. I started to talk about that last time. Number one thief of time is procrastination. Friends, what is procrastination? Procrastination is simply doing what? Putting off to tomorrow what you should do today. It's the willful delaying of doing something that should be done. And because many of us, we procrastinate a lot in life, you find that we never do an excellent job. We talk about excellence, but we never do it. We just read a scripture in Ephesians chapter number 5, I think verse number 16. The Bible said, redeem the time, make the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Make the most of every opportunity. You see, a lot of us, we talk about being diligent. But do you know that many times procrastination is a sign of laziness? We do not want to do things. And so you find that we want to relax, we want to take our sweet time until our back is against the wall, and then we have to do a bad job of it. And we do a bad job of it. When people talk about how bad of a job we have done, we find excuses. We find many reasons why we could not get things done. And many times you find that because we procrastinate, certain things are done late, certain things are done poorly, because we did not put in the time in it. Child of God, understand that God requires the best use of your time. Just as God wants you to be in prayer, just as God wants you to study the word of God, God also expects you to put in the best use of your time in all that you do. Amen. In all that you do. So, procrastination, friends, is a major thief of time. You're talking to somebody that has experienced it, somebody that is fighting it, and somebody that knows the negative impact of procrastination. Because many times we put off things. I have put off things so many times until the last minute. And suddenly, your back is against the wall, and you end up doing a bad job of it. So I don't know where you are. Look at somebody and just tell them, procrastination is a thief of time. Make sure it does not know your address. So friends, what is the cure for procrastination? Diligence. Diligence. We must be a people that are diligent. You see, whilst you will not find the word procrastination many times, or you will not find that word in the Bible, but one thing you'll find is the principles that we can learn from it. And you'll find that the Bible says that, do you see a person that is diligent in their work? They will not stand before mediocrity, they'll stand before kings. Whenever you exercise diligence, you will not eat the bread of laziness. You will not eat the bread of laziness. Amen? Number two, lack of vision. Lack of vision is a thief of time. In Proverbs chapter number 29 and verse number 18, the Bible says, where there is no vision, the people perish. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint, but happy is he who keeps the law. Listen, friends, where you do not have a plan for your life, anything goes. Anything goes. People will pull you to the left, to the right. Everything in your life will be put to the left and to the right, and you will not have anything of significance. By the time you are waiting or wanting to do something of significance in your life, time has gone. Where there is no vision, that is why, friends, it is very, very important. You'll notice vision and purpose, these are things that are spoken of a lot. Even in the Bible, you find that there's a lot of teaching about this matter. And that's why the writer of the Proverbs here is saying that where people do not have revelation about their life, where people do not have knowledge of their purpose, they'll cast off all restraint, meaning they will not be focused to do the things that are called to do. Even as a church, if a church does not know its vision, if a church does not understand its purpose, we will be tossed to and fro everywhere to everywhere we want. Oh, just because church A is doing this, we must do this. Church B is doing this, we must do this. Church C is doing this, we must do this. By the time you come back to what you are supposed to be doing, you have lost years and time. It is the same thing in your life. Many of us, we are busy following the visions of others without realizing that God has given each one of us a personal vision to pursue. Amen? Every one of us, we have a personal vision to pursue. So if we do not have vision, we do not have a revelation of God's plan and purpose in our lives, guess what? Time will be stolen from you. Now remember, you can lose a job and you'll find another. You can lose a relationship, you will find another. But when you lose time, you will never recover that time. That is why, friends, it is so valuable to understand that you can never play with time. You can never play with the 24 hours that you have, the chronos time that you have. A kairos opportunity, an opportunity can come back again in another season, but the time would have been lost. The time would have been lost. So it is very, very important to understand. Today, before you leave this place, if you do not have vision, make it your goal and your purpose to find a vision for your life. Make it your goal and your purpose to know the plan that you have. The Bible says if you do not have vision, you will cast off all restraint. Anything goes. Anything goes. That's why you find people just hanging out. What are you doing? Nothing. Let's go this side. And you go. Fulfilling somebody else's vision. When they are done, oh, let's go and have ice cream. You go. By the time it's the end of the day, you have done nothing concerning your vision. And if you're a person that deals with procrastination, perhaps you are supposed to be studying for an exam. And suddenly, time has gone away from you. And the next day, you start calling your professor and saying, I'm sorry, I'm sick. You're not sick. Now you start going into lies as a child of God. Number three, stealer of time. What was number one? Number two, number three, unforgiveness. Unforgiveness. I said I'll try to give you 10. Huh? Unforgiveness. Hopefully I'll get to 10. Woo! This is a big one. Unforgiveness. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, verse number 23. Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 23. The Bible reads, therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother, then come and offer your gift. Now, verse 25 says, agree with your adversary quickly while you're on the way, lest your adversary deliver you. Friends, look at Ephesians chapter number 4. In Ephesians chapter 4, be angry and do not sin. Verse number 26. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. You see, unforgiveness, friends, is a big thing. And it affects everybody in this room. Because there are times that we've been hurt and we feel that we can never forgive. And because of that, you find that we lose time in relationships, particularly between a husband and a wife. You find that they go for days living in the same house and they don't talk. By the time they are reconciling, they have lost a month, they have lost weeks, they have lost days, they have lost valuable time in which they could have been planning their life, they could have been planning the lives of their children. All because of what? Unforgiveness. Think about friendships. How many people have had friends and you've gone, rubbed each other off the wrong way, and you don't speak for 3 weeks? And you say, that is my friend. You lose valuable time. Unforgiveness, friends, is a major stealer of valuable time in life. And that time will never, ever be recovered. Think about families. How many of us have had issues with our parents, with our children, and we don't talk to them? I remember meeting somebody that hadn't spoken to their parents for 15 years. And I was like, what? How can you not speak to your parents for 15 years? And how can you not speak to your own children for 15 years? Just think about it, friends. And all of that is a plan of the enemy to steal your joy. Because when your time is stolen from you, that time will never, ever be recovered. Never, ever be recovered. I'd like to encourage you. I don't know where you are in life, but if you're harboring any unforgiveness, it is time to let go. It is not worth it. That's why the Bible says, be angry. Yes, you can be angry. And it is not a sin to be angry, but it is what you do when you're angry that may fall into the areas of sin. But he says, whatever you do when you're upset, make sure that you do not allow the day to end or time to pass by without resolving your issues. I know people that have lost business contracts all because they were upset, they were angry, rather than allowing them to cool down and go back and resolve matters. I know marriages that have ended all because somebody refused to forgive. Somebody refused to forgive. And later on, they're trying to go back to their spouse. It is too late because their spouse has been hurt and healed and moved on. Child of God, if nothing else today, remember this thief of time, unforgiveness. Unforgiveness. It has no place in the life of a believer. It is so amazing that people come into the house of God. People are in church and they don't speak to each other. And you lift up holy hands. And you know I keep talking about this every week. Because it is not the character of a child of God to do that. It is not the character of a child of God. Let the non-believer do that. The Bible says, let the non-believer see your conduct, and by your conduct and your character come to Christ. But you cannot be saying, hallelujah, praise the Lord, hallelujah, praise the Lord. And when you come in the house of God, you do not speak to one another. You cannot do that. And before you realize it, 1 month has passed. 2 months has passed. And by the way, the more that you walk in unforgiveness, the more that you walk in hardness of heart, guess what happens? Bitterness begins to creep in. The more bitterness creeps in, hatred begins to come. You see, many times people talk about hatred. Hatred just doesn't start. It starts because of unforgiveness. It starts because you refuse to let go. Jesus was on the cross, and while the pain was still there, he said, I forgive them. You say, oh, that was Jesus. Let's talk about Stephen. The Bible tells us that Stephen was being stoned, and in the midst of being stoned with the pain and the hurt, he said, Lord, forgive them. They do not know what they are doing. Many of us, we say, I will forgive when the pain has stopped. The pain will never stop. In fact, you will forget a little bit. 2 years later, you will meet me, and if I offended you, everything I did will come back to you. And 2 years later, you will not speak to me. You will not speak to me. Why? Because you let go. Oh, when it stops hurting, it never stops hurting. You can only receive healing of the pain. And healing only comes through forgiveness. Healing only comes through forgiveness. You can go to therapy. Yes. Therapy will just placate it. It will just dull it. But trust me, after therapy and a while, you say, well, now that I've gone through it, it takes a while. Until you get to the place of forgiveness, even if you go through therapy and do not forgive, 5 years will pass. Mark my words. Why do you think people go 10 years and 15 years and they don't speak to each other? Because they refuse to let go. They refuse to let go. It doesn't matter where you are in life. If you allow unforgiveness to take root in your life, child of God, it will be a major thief of time. It will be a major thief of time. Hallelujah. Look at somebody and tell them, unforgiveness has no room, has no place in your life. You know, it is so amazing that husbands and wives don't talk in the car. You show up in church, you put on a beautiful face. Hallelujah. Hi, honey. Pass me. Here's your Bible, honey. You've not spoken the whole week. Who are you doing that for? Who are you doing that for? In church? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. If you're seated next to your spouse, look at them nicely. Look at them right now and tell them, honey, unforgiveness has no room in the house. You see, have you noticed husbands, they're not even looking at each other. They're not even saying anything. Because some of them are remembering and saying, ah, it was only last night. It was only last night. The thing is still hurting. You see, the devil doesn't want us to talk about these things. He only wants you to talk about the anointing, the miracles, the prophets. But you see, the everyday things of life are what affects you in your walk with God. Those are the things that are important and the things that need to be dealt with. Amen. Number one, thief of time. Number two, number three, hallelujah. Number four, wrong associations. Wrong associations. Wrong associations. Ay, 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 ay. The Bible says that do not be deceived. Evil company does what? Corrupts good morals. Wrong associations. The people we associate with, we can cause a loss of time in life. Remember, time is unrecoverable. Time is unrecoverable. Time is unrecoverable, friends. Wrong associations. Don't look at the person next to you. Look at yourself. The people that you've associated with, the issues or the causes you've associated with that have taken away valuable time from you and have not been of any profit in your life. Wrong associations. Especially when you are growing up young. You hang out with the wrong crowd. By the time you realize it, 2 years have passed and some of your friends have graduated and you are still in your first year, first semester of college 2 years later. Wrong associations. Wrong associations will cause relationships that are profitable in your life to break. Wrong associations will cause businesses to falter and even to die. Wrong associations. You see, wrong association is also associated with bad advice. Because when you hang out with the wrong kind of people, when you hang out with the wrong crowd, and many times when we are hanging out with the wrong, with that crowd, we think they are right and everybody else is wrong. Who do you associate with in life? Are they helping you pursuing your vision, or do they take you away from your vision? Because you see, when you have an understanding, remember number two, lack of vision. When you have an understanding of a vision, where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint. When you have an understanding, that will cause you to choose even the people to associate with. It will cause you to know what is best for you and not. You will not just jump to and fro with anybody. Oh, because they look good, they smell good, I think they are my right kind of person. But they may not be the right kind of person for your vision. They may not be the right kind of person for the walk God has placed you in. Hallelujah. Wrong associations have derailed so many people in life. So many people in life. Number five, ignorance. Ignorance. Tell yourself, ignorance. Listen, many people are ignorant and they don't know they are ignorant. The Bible says, my people perish for what? Lack of knowledge. When you have no knowledge, what are you? You are ignorant in that matter, in that area. You may be knowledgeable in a particular area, but in that one particular area, if you do not take time to gain knowledge, guess what will happen? You will lose time because you will do things the wrong way. How many of you are like me? You buy something, you don't want to read the instructions. You start putting it together. And you take 45 minutes putting it together and you get frustrated and my goodness, then you pick up the manual and you find it only needed what? 3 minutes of your time to do. Suddenly you have knowledge. You're like, wow! See, my people perish for lack of knowledge. That's what the Bible says. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Let's read it. Hosea 4:6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I also will reject you from being priest for me. Now, he was speaking to the priests here, and because the priests had rejected knowledge, they could no longer give the people the information. They could no longer give the people what? The knowledge. And as a result of that, the people were being what? They were being destroyed because they were what? Ignorant. And so God says, you are the wrong kind of priest because you are not teaching my people. I'm also rejecting you from being my priests. Because you are not feeding the people the right information. Now that principle also applies in our day-to-day living. How many of you are in the medical field in here? And I know there's several of you. Do they allow you to give that medicine to that person anyhow? What do they do? They first give you what? Knowledge. And they make sure you know. They test you. Now, that applies in any field. Any field. You could be in finance. You could be in preaching or whatever. You could be in the field of education. Whatever area. It just doesn't happen. There is some knowledge transfer that happens first. Hallelujah. So in life, and you see, this issue is critical. Do you know why today the body of Christ, instead of being a leader in society, today the body of Christ is lagging behind? Because we have refused to gather knowledge. We have refused to gather knowledge. And so we are just allowed to be misled. We are being misled, being taught anything, anyhow, and saying, hello, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Okay. And so you find that the body of Christ today is so lagging behind. Why? We have refused to get knowledge. We don't want knowledge. That is why today there's so much of this prophecy and miracles. Prophecies are not wrong. Miracles are not wrong. But things are being done so wrongly, you find that the only thing the Christian is looking for is a prophecy. The best prophecy you can give yourself is you speak to yourself. Speak to your future. Read the word of God. Allow the scripture to speak to you. And declare it over your life.
And that's your prophetic word. Now, are prophecies wrong? No. The right prophecies. But you see, because we do not have knowledge, that's why the Bible says, study to show yourself approved. Study the word of God. Every prophecy. The Bible says that it must be checked by the word of God. Hallelujah. Must be checked by the word of God. It doesn't matter even if it's Pastor C who tells you. Go back. The Bible says the Bereans went and they studied to make sure that the things that Paul was telling them were the right things. They went and checked. Now, if the Bereans, the Bible says the Bereans, they took time to study. They went back into the books. Are the things Paul is saying, are they correct? They say, he's saying the right things. We shall do it. But today, very few people in the body of Christ are doing that. We must refuse ignorance. Let not ignorance hamper the plans that God has for us in our lives. Amen. I'll give you one more and we'll be done. Number 6. A little word, I'll help you spell it. D, write it down. D-I-S-O-B-E-D-I. You can finish it now. Disobedience. Disobedience. So, Pastor, how can disobedience cause me to lose time? Disobedience, I mean, I just want to do the things I want to do. Well, let's go back in time and ask Moses and the people he was leading. How long did it take them to cross to the promised land? How long? I didn't hear you. How long? But how long was the journey supposed to take them? 40 days. It was a 40-day journey. And God said, for every day that you were supposed to take to cross because of your disobedience, I will add a year for every day. 40 years for a journey that they should have taken 40 days, all because of what? Grumbling, complaining, and disobedience. Think about it. How many of us, when we're kids and we disobeyed, and our parents dangled that candy right there, and they even said, because you disobeyed, watch me eat it on your behalf. Disobedience, friends, will destroy your life. It will take away time from you. Put it in simpler terms. Somebody says, turn left. Oh my gosh. There are some human GPSs you go with in the car. They tell you, I know where we are going. Turn left. No, it's right. No, turn left. By the time you turn around, you have lost time. You have lost time. Many of us, we make so many wrong turns in life. Even when God tells us turn left, we decide, no, I know better. I'll turn right. Oh, no. Turn to the left. No. I know better. I'll keep going straight. And God says, oh, okay. I'll leave you until you locate it. Disobedience. I'm sure each one of us, we are sitting in here and we know the times that we chose to disobey and how long it took us to get there. We're talking about what? The thieves of time. We must be stewards of time. Friends, the time we have does not belong to us. It belongs to God. It belongs to God. We think it belongs to us until we fall sick. I know people that don't want prayer until they fall sick. Suddenly my phone doesn't stop ringing. Pastor, I think I'm dying. Oh, this time, friends, we have does not belong to us. Look at somebody and tell them, be a steward of God's time. Stop procrastinating. Develop a vision for your life. Walk in forgiveness. Develop the right associations. Gain knowledge and walk in obedience. The Bible says in Psalm 90 verse 12, teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. That we may gain a heart of wisdom. So friends, as stewards of God's time, we need to be what? To live wisely. We need to be careful. We need to capitalize on every opportunity because there is no room for procrastination. Let's understand what the will of God for our lives is. That way we will not waste time when we are about the master's business. So today I ask you, what is God's will for you? Because all these things we've talked about, if you have no understanding of God's plan for you, if you have no understanding of God's will for you in the use of your time, you can never become an agent of change. You can never become an agent of change. So understand that God's stewardship is at the level of your life, at the level of your time, at the level of your treasures. Friends, at the level of your gifts, your talents. Let's not waste God's time in life. I'd like to give you this test of the stewardship of your time. Track your time for 1 week. Track your time for 1 week. See the areas where you are wasting time. Areas where you can improve. Track your time for 1 week. Do it. Because until and unless you do it, you will not see and make the changes that you need to make in life. So track your time, friends. See the areas and begin to live life on purpose as a steward of God's time. As a steward of God's time. Think about it. Many times we say, I do not have time to pray. I'm so busy. But when you track your time, you'll find that there's always time to pray. You say, I do not have time to read the word of God. But when you look and track your time, you'll find that there is time to read the word of God. I do not have time to go back to school. When you track your time, you'll find that you can always throw in an extra hour for studying. When you track your time, you'll find that the desires and plans that you had for that business will begin to materialize. Suddenly, you will find that there are areas in life that you could have saved on time. And God will be well pleased with you. So do this, friends, for this 1 week. Shall we rise to our feet? Do this for this 1 week. Look at the areas in life where you walked in disobedience. Look at the areas of your time where you walked in ignorance. Decide that the next 6 months you are going to study in that particular area to gain knowledge, to know what to do, when to do it. Think about the areas, friends, where you've been procrastinating. Think about the areas of procrastination. It is time to kill it. Every year I say I'll play the keyboard on Christmas Day. It has been every year. I'm not going to tell you how long, but it has been every year. And I sit at the keyboard and I say, hallelujah, hallelujah. Procrastination. The vision's there, but procrastination. So look at these areas. I may not have given you all the 10, but I believe 6 of these, each of these areas, look at it. Today, if you've been walking in unforgiveness, decide. This is the last day you walk in unforgiveness. Decide this is the last day you walk in unforgiveness. But friends, we can do all of this, but without the Holy Spirit, there is nothing we can do. We need Him to help us. We need Him to give us direction. We need Him to give us that wisdom. The Bible says those that are led by the Spirit. And I know that as I've been speaking to some of us in here. Let's just take time. Take a minute. Let's just talk to God. In the areas that we've talked about. For some of us, it may be lack of vision. For some of us, it may be ignorance. For some of us, it may be disobedience. For some of us, it may be wrong associations. For some of us, it may be all 6 areas that we need to deal with. Let's just take a minute and just talk to God. Talk to God. Just tell Him, Lord, help me to be a good steward of my time. Help me, oh God, that the thieves of time will not have a field day with me. Strengthen me, oh God. Lift me up. Just talk to God. Let's talk to God. Open your mouth and just talk to Him. Just talk to Him. You are the one who knows the areas that you need God to help you. And invite the Holy Spirit to just come and take residence in those areas of life to help you overcome.